Open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 10 as we continue with our study. Stand your ground. Hebrews chapter 10. The focus of this morning's message is don't draw back. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up on God. Don't draw back. So reading with me from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. And I'm reading from the King James, and I'll expand on a few words as we go along. So think about this. We're standing our ground, and we're not to draw back. Once you take ground, you want to hold on to the ground that you've taken. Now, we're talking spiritually speaking here, but it has a natural application as well. So verse 35 says this, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." In other words, don't throw away your boldness. Okay? "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." It's interesting. If you were to read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. Not just faith, but you've got to mix it with patience, the power twins. So you stand in faith, but patient endurance is really important to this walk because it doesn't always come like a Happy Meal. It's not a drive-through. This walk of faith is not the drive-through. Pray, there it is. Sometimes you're going to have to stand. We've all been through that, and you're going to be, standing in the future because, you know, God's preparing us and growing us and building us. And it's in those challenging times of standing that we grow spiritually. At the time, we don't want it. But when we look back, thank God we press through it because we grow in faith. Now, we keep reading. Verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry or will not delay." Jesus is coming back. Now, the world's not interested in that, but we should be because he's coming back at some point to bring his own into the kingdom, the church, and we should be ready for it. Verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." That means the righteous or the innocent, those that have been made right with God, because we can't make ourselves right with God. It's right believing that makes us right with God. So the just, those that are righteous in his sight, those that are innocent before him, shall live by faith. And a better rendering of that is the just by faith shall live. The just by faith shall live. "But if any man draw back," that means cower or shrink. We don't want to do that. We don't want to draw back. We don't want to cower, shrink, withdraw, or shun. He says, "If any man does that, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now just turn over the page for a moment. Have a look at verse 6 of the next chapter, 11. It says this, and it's referring to God. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," God, "for he that comes to God must believe that he is." That's the condition. "And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." So think about that. Faith pleases God. Well, of course faith pleases God, because when faith's in operation, God can pour out his blessing into the life of a human being. It gives him pleasure to bless. That's why faith pleases God. So we come back to our original text, but it goes on to say, "If we draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him." Well, of course, if we draw back and there's no faith, God can't pour out blessing. He can't extend mercy. He can't show grace and all those things that he wants to do. That's where he misses out on the pleasure of giving. He's a giving God. "For God so loved the world, he gave his son." Then we keep reading. "But we are not of them that draw back to perdition." And that word perdition is destruction or ruin. So we're not like them. We're not drawing back. "But of them that believe to the saving of the soul." In other words, the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. We're the faithful ones that believe that our souls will be saved. We're not drawing back. He wants us to press forward. We don't withdraw, but advance in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think about Israel for a moment. Israel drew back and never entered into the promised land. They never entered into the promised land because they believed God hated them. If you study out Deuteronomy chapter 1, you'll see it. They didn't believe the love. They believed God hated them. So they never got to enter in to the promised land, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And of course, what Israel wanted to do, because they didn't trust him, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Did they not? Yes. They wanted to go back to Egypt, but Egypt was bondage. They wanted to go back to bondage. They wanted to sit under slavery. They would rather be under slavery than go into the promised land that was given to them, but they didn't believe God. They wouldn't trust him. They wanted to go back. They ended up 40 years in the wilderness. It was an 11-day journey from where they were to Canaan land. 11 days. 40 years in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe God. I wonder how many people today, saved, know the Father, are having a wilderness experience because they don't believe the love. God said he loves us. That's all we need to know. If he said he loves us, he loves us. Don't reason the scriptures. Believe them. Believe in your heart and declare it with your mouth. That's the way faith works. And then if we keep reading, because there's no chapter and verse in the original letter to the Hebrews, it says in verse 1 of 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance, is the ground or the confident assurance that we have. So faith is the confidence of the things we don't see. Isn't it interesting? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what we don't see. So faith is evidence. Well, normally evidence is something that you can physically, tangibly connect something with. But faith is not like that. Faith isn't relying on natural. It's relying on believing in the heart, because faith is a force that comes out of the recreated human spirit. It doesn't come out of here. You can't process this book with the intellect. Now, we read books and enjoy books through the soul realm, the intellect, not the Bible. This is the one book you can't do that with, because this is the living word of the living God. So this is God breathed. When you read this book, you're feeding your spirit and it's processed with that intellect. That's how this book works. The only one that does that, because this is the living word of God. His word is spirit and his word is life. Now, faith requires more confidence in what God said in his word than any natural circumstance. I want you to think about that. Believing is seeing. That's how faith works. Often we say, well, you know, seeing is believing. Not in the kingdom, it's not. Believing is seeing. That's how the kingdom works. Now, this morning, I want to give you two very, very powerful examples in the Bible of this principle in operation, where people wouldn't draw back. They stood their ground and they wouldn't take no for an answer. First one, Matthew 15. Matthew 15 this morning. And we're going to talk about the Syrophoenician woman, the woman from Canaan land, or Cana. And I'll read it from the King James, but I'll also read part of it from the New Living Translation. There's a lot in this. And this story, and it's a true story, is a wonderful expression of faith in God. This story. So 15, and I'm going to read from verse 21 of the King James. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. So he'd been ministering in Galilee. Galilee is the northern part of Israel. You've got the Sea of Galilee. He's ministering there near Capernaum. He was in a place called Gennesaret. And then he moves across from there over to the to the west coast of Israel, and you've got Tyre and a city further up called Sidon, and it was about 60 kilometers journey. So he's moved to that northern region. Now, the only reason why Jesus would be doing anything is because the Father told him to go. Amen? The Bible says he does nothing unless he hears the Father say it, and he does nothing unless he sees the Father do it. So if Jesus went from Galilee to Tyre and Sidon, it's because Father said, I want you to go there. I've got ministry for you to do. Now, and it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, there's a lot in that verse which we have to unpack. Firstly, this woman is a Syrophoenician. So she's from the nation of Syrophoenicia. She's a Canaanite. Now, a Canaanite woman is a picture of someone that's unworthy of God's mercy. If you read the Old Testament, you will understand what I mean by that, because what nation was God removing? Canaan. The Canaanites. That's the land he promised them. He was removing the Canaanites so Israel could take the land. So this woman represents someone that's got uncovenanted state with God. She's not covenanted with God. She hasn't got a claim to grace. This is why this is so important. So this woman, who's a Greek, she's not an Israelite, so she's got no claim to the kingdom of God. She hears about Jesus. If you were to read this in Mark chapter 7, it says that Jesus was at a house and he was trying to lay low because he just didn't want to be surrounded. She found where he was and she went to the house. This is extreme. If you understand the culture, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, did not just go into a house and barge in and say, Rabbi, do something for me. That's what she did. That's not normal. Particularly a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman, you know, a Canaanite woman, because they didn't have a covenant with God. The covenant was with Israel. But we're going to see something about faith this morning. Faith transcends all things, including the law of Moses. Amen? So here's this woman. She turns up at this house and she says, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. Now, that's a really interesting term because David was promised that one of his offspring would rule forever. So, son of David was a messianic title. And Jesus never denied that he was the son of David. It was a messianic title because Jesus is Messiah. He was the one that was to be sent. This non-Jew says, Jesus, son of David. It's extraordinary. And she says, have mercy because my daughter is grievously vexed, and that is miserably possessed with. So she must have understood something about the kingdom of God and the spirit realm to conclude that her daughter was miserably possessed with a devil. I want you to see something here. This is how faith works, people. It's not some passive thing. Faith's aggressive. It's aggressive. It doesn't say take no for an answer. It says no, the word said it. I'm going to take it. I want you to see it. We keep reading. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. So she says, Lord, have mercy on me. He didn't answer a word. And his disciples besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. She cries after us. Wow. In the New Living, it says, she is bothering us with all her begging. Just send her away. Really? Now, it's interesting, because if you study this out, Jesus used this encounter to teach his disciples about the love and mercy of God. You're going to see that in a moment. See, they believed that the blessing of God was principally for them, for Israel, but the blessing and mercies of God are for everyone. God's love isn't just for the church, it's for every human being today. Every sinner out there in the world that doesn't know God, God loves. And He knows them. He knew them from the beginning. He knew them before they were born. And He had a plan from the foundation of the world for every single human being, if they choose to walk in it. But not everyone will, because many reject our God. So they just said, you know, get rid of her. She's bothering us. Really? Now, the fact that, you know, Jesus didn't answer, I want you to think about that. He wanted her to persist. He wanted her to persist. That's why He didn't answer. Because He could see that she's already claimed Him to be Messiah. So there's something about this woman that's got His attention. He wasn't trying to avoid this woman. He was in the region of Tyre and Sidon because He was sent by the Father for that purpose. He wasn't avoiding her. And of course, she wouldn't draw back. Think about this. So He answered her and said, grievously text, and He says, but He answered and said, these disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Verse 24, but He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So what He's saying is, I know you're making a demand on Me, but I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, God the Father has sent Me to deal with Israel first. First. Not the Gentile nations. And then she takes it one step further. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, that word worship is not singing. She got down before Him. She put herself at His feet. You know, it was an attitude of the heart. She got down. She fell at His feet in worship. And she said, Lord, help me. She wouldn't back down. Now remember, the Bible says in Luke 11, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So she's not going to back down. She's talking to a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. She's a Canaanite woman. That's not normal at the time of Jesus. He didn't come for the Gentiles first. That's what the disciples were going to do when Jesus went back to the Father. When He made a way for all men to be brought to Him, He sent His disciples out to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, not just the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. But for this moment, Jesus was called to the Jews only. But something happened here. So she says, help me. But He answered her and said, it is not meet, meaning it's not good or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now that sounds very offensive, doesn't it? But that's not what He was saying. That word dogs means the little puppies, the small dogs, the pet dogs. What He's saying is, it's not right to take the meal that's been prepared for the children and hand it to the puppies. Think about that. Most people here don't prepare the evening meal and then give it to the dogs first. That's what He's saying. And, you know, this children's bread. So what's the children's bread He's talking about here? The children's bread is healing and deliverance. That was the children's bread for Israel. It's the children's bread for the church today, for those that are willing to believe it by faith. It's the bread for us. He's saying, I can't take the children's bread and give it to the little puppies. But look at her response. And this response got Jesus' attention. She said this. And she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. What happened there was faith superseded law. Right that moment, she has now taken something that's beyond Israel. She's now tapped into the realm of faith. God could not respond to her. God had to. Why? Faith pleases God, does it not? Yes. Yeah. the reason why the law was given to Israel, because they were a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, and they needed the law to constrain them until the promised seed came, who was Jesus. But this woman has tapped into something beyond the law. She's tapped into the realm of the kingdom of God where faith resides. And let's see Jesus' response. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will." And of course, it's interesting, the New Living says, "Your faith is great, your request is granted," and her daughter was instantly healed. Only two times in the Bible did Jesus commend someone having great faith. The Syrophoenician woman, a non-Jew, and the centurion, a non-Jew. Both of them punched at a higher weight than the Israelites. In fact, Jesus with the centurion said, "I haven't found faith like yours in all of Israel." And that included the 12 disciples around him, and that included John the Baptist. "I haven't seen faith like this in Israel." So on the two occasions where God said faith is great were the two non-Jews that went beyond the law and they received direct from heaven. That's how we're to receive today. Christianity is not legalistic. Jesus went to the cross to finish the work. The law ended with Jesus on the cross. Now we live under the grace of God, and that's what gives us the access. This woman was given access. Access was granted to the grace of God. Not because she was an Israelite, because she was uncovenanted. She had no claim to the covenant. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says, to be without hope is to be without God. You know, no covenant with Israel. To be without God is to be without hope. And he talked about they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the covenants of promise, without God and without hope. That's not the world today. The world has hope, because Jesus has finished the work that had to be finished. There's nothing more to be done. He did it all. The only thing now that stops somebody entering into an eternal relationship with Father God is believing. What will you believe? Will you believe the living, written Word of God, or will you believe your circumstances? "Well, I'm not that worthy." God says you are. "I've done some things that are pretty bad." So did Paul. So did Moses. So did David. We go on and on and on. So did some of the disciples. That doesn't stop us entering into the blessing of God. The only thing that can stop us entering into that eternal relationship with our Father is non-belief or unbelief. It comes down to that. That's it. How wonderful is God that he's brought it down to that. Go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes shall be saved. He that believes not is condemned. That's it. That's why we preach the gospel. So, amazing things. This uncovenanted mercy, she had no legal claim to it, but she pressed in. So she lived the principles Jesus himself taught in Luke 18, 1 to 8. Remember the widow that went to the judge and said, you know, "Avenge me of my adversaries. And, you know, give me justice against my enemies." And the judge said, the Bible says the judge, he didn't fear God and he didn't fear man. He couldn't care about God and he couldn't care about people. But he said the reason why he gave this woman what she asked for is because she was persistent. She kept asking and asking, and he wearied her down. He wearied her because she kept going to him. This is a principle, the very principle of Luke 18 that Jesus was talking about. Keep going. And in fact, he said, listen to what the unjust judge said. You know, "I don't care about God, I don't care about man, but if I don't give her what she wants, she's going to weary me. I'm just going to be tired of her constant la, la, la." That's the same principle. That's what this woman applied. She had no right to go to the rabbi, but she said that I've got to do this because this is for my daughter. Think about this. You know, this is for a daughter. This was a mother's heart. A mother's heart that wouldn't accept no for her daughter's sake. And Jesus acknowledged her faith as great. Wow. So her faith was evident by her corresponding action. And that's how it works. Hallelujah. So this Syrophoenician woman, great faith. Now, who knows what became of this woman beyond that? Who knows what she did with that encounter in her own life? We don't know. Well, we will in heaven one day when we see her. And we'll see her. We're going to see this woman one day. But who knows what impact this encounter had on that region of Tyre and Sidon in terms of faith in God? Because clearly she heard about Jesus, and that's why she found him. And she wasn't leaving without her miracle. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to Mark, the next gospel, Mark, and go to Mark 10. And the other character this morning I want to talk about is blind Bartimaeus. Who's read about blind Bartimaeus? It's a wonderful, wonderful account in Scripture of faith. And it's this same principle. This woman and blind Bartimaeus, they both had something very special. That is, they wouldn't draw back, they wouldn't quit. Nor should we. No matter how much you come under attack or persecution, stand your ground. God has your back. So Mark chapter 11, verse 46, reading with me, King James. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So Jesus has entered Jericho with an entourage of people. He's got all his disciples and a big following. And of course, he's now left Jericho. And if you study this out, he's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. This is in the latter part of his ministry, one of the last healings he did. So he's on the way to Jerusalem to fulfill the will of the Father. But there's an interruption here. So you've got this massive crowd of people, and here you have blind man Bartimaeus, and he's sitting by the highway begging. So totally dependent on welfare. That was his disposition. And when he heard that it was Jesus, so he's heard something. Okay? So I've written here, he heard and believed in Jesus. So he wasn't spiritually blind, was he? Now, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, may have a physical impediment, but it doesn't mean they've got a spiritual blindness, and vice versa. They can be naturally, you know, seeing, but spiritually blind. This man couldn't see with his eyes, but he wasn't spiritually blind because he heard about Jesus. So he'd already believed something about this man, Jesus. And the next verse gives us a clue. And when he heard that it was Jesus, verse 47 of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Does that sound familiar? Didn't the Syrophoenician woman say the same thing? Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, have mercy on me. I mean, you take it to a new level when you're calling on the name of Messiah, because this is the one that was promised to be sent to Israel to liberate Israel. Thing is, Israel had this idea that Messiah was going to be sent to overthrow Rome. Messiah was sent to deal with sin. That's why Jesus came, not to overthrow Rome. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil was the result of sin which entered into the earth because of Adam's transgression, which brought sickness and disease, spiritual death, poverty and lack. And that still exists today for those that are separated from God. Even though God's now dealt with all that, the world's still cursed. But those that are saved are not. We don't live under the curse, do we? We live under the blessing. But for those that don't know Jesus, the curse still operates in this earth. Have a look at the earth today. Have a look at the world. Pretty obvious that it's not in the blessing. There's a cursed world because a demonic realm still has license for a season to operate in this world system. That's why it controls so much of the media and the governmental system and the religious system and the economic system, education system. That's how he controls people's thinking, because that's his playground. Not our playground. We're in the world, but we're not of it. In it, but not of it. We're here to be a light in the world. We're not to be like the world. So that's the thing. So he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. So a better way of saying that is, many said, shut up. Shut up. It's the master passing. What are you doing, you beggar there? Just be quiet. Many charged him. Be quiet. Stop opening your mouth. Who are you to be talking? Now, he could have done that, couldn't he? Had he shut his mouth, his blessing would have passed by. If we shut our mouths, our blessing will pass by. You've got to declare the promise. You've got to declare it. We don't have a physical Jesus walking past us, but we have the Word of God, don't we not? So we've got to declare the same thing that he declared. We don't physically have Jesus, but we've got the Spirit and we've got the truth. So if we're going to stop that blessing passing by, we've got to grab a hold of it. We've got to take it by faith. How do you take it by faith? You call the promise in. You declare what he's already declared. You're not saying something God hasn't approved. They're the exceeding great and precious promises that God has given to us. But not everyone is going to live in it if they don't apply the principles of faith. So they said, be quiet. But of course, look at the response. But he cried the more a great deal. Son of David, have mercy on me. So they said, listen, shut up, boy. He said, no, son of David, son of David, son of David. He ignored them. Do we ignore people that get in our face? Do we ignore the ones that say, I don't want to hear about your God? That's okay. They don't have to. Love them anyway. But don't draw back because someone else isn't interested in your God. Jesus bore the sin of the world so you and I could be free, amen? We have the freedom to come to church on a Sunday and hear the wonderful things of God because of what Jesus did at Calvary. We're not going to give that up lightly, people. You know, when Jesus touched my life 33 years ago, I knew that my life had changed, and it's changing still today. I'm not giving that up for anything. They've come too late for me. I know this God keeps me in my darkest hour. He's kept me. And he'll continue to keep me and you if we stay with him. Amen. Stay with him. Don't let go. Don't give up on God. In fact, right at the end of this, I had this little quote. Don't quit on God, for he'll never quit on you. Amen. He'll never quit on you. He never quit. He never. I remember seeing a little picture, an image one day, and there was this gridiron player, and he had the helmet off, and he had his head down between his knees in the locker room, and he said, I quit. And then there was another picture of a cross with a sort of a shroud draped over the cross, and it had a caption, I didn't. Yes. One said, I quit. He said, I didn't. Yes. He didn't quit on us. He went to the cross. He paid the price. He went to a devil's hell for 3 days and three nights. Why? So that we could have liberty and freedom. And that's what gives us the victory today, not because we're something special. Get this idea that we have to do things for God to be right with him. Get that out of your thinking. The only doing that ever counted in eternity was Calvary's cross. Amen? That's the only one. That's the only one that God said, that's the tick. Jesus went to the cross. And everyone that is willing to believe and receive that, I'll receive them into my family. So we get there not because we're worthy. We get there because of the mercy of God. We get there because of the grace of God. We get there because we said yes to Jesus. And that takes all the pressure of trying to do and perform, you know, being ritualistic. And oh, I've got to get here and I've got to do this. I've got to. No. I often say to people, I don't work for God. I work with him. I'm a son that chooses to serve him. But I'm a son. You're all sons and daughters of God. I don't work for him. I work with him. We work with God. We're his sons and daughters. Big difference, people. Big difference. So keep reading for the sake of time. So he pressed in, and look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still. This is a man that stopped Jesus. As I said, will your miracle pass you by? And Jesus then commanded him to be called. Now, I was thinking about that yesterday. Why would Jesus command him to be called? Well, the blind man didn't recognize that Jesus had stopped, did he? He didn't know he'd stopped. He just said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But he didn't know that. He said, go tell him. Come to me. Just amazing this. And of course, and they call the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calls you. Change your heart. Fickle people. They'll tell him to shut up before, and he says, it's all right, son. Be of good comfort. The master calls you. Come on, get up. Can I help you? Can I carry you? No. This is people. This is the way they are. You know, we've got to be really, really careful that we don't have a holy of thou attitude toward the world out there. You know, we need to love sinners, people. We were sinners. We need to love them and help draw them into the relationship that God wants with them. And we don't do that by telling them they're all sinners going to hell. You tell them that there's a loving God in heaven that wants you to be part of his family. They'll come. They'll come. And of course, we know that he called him. And they said, be of good comfort. Verse 50, and he cast away his garment, or casting away his garment, he rose, okay, and came to Jesus. Now, it's interesting. You know, that garment, that was his old identity. Think about it, people. His old identity, his license to beg, his position in society, his limitations. So that garment represented all those things. If he's going to toss the garment, which gives him legal right to beg, that means he's not coming back for it. This is faith. This is how he's already determined, if I can just connect with him, I'm going to receive. So not only does he get up, he doesn't get up and bring his identity with him. He gets up and leaves his old identity. Leave your old identity, people. Leave it behind. God's not interested in our dead past because it's dead. Amen. It's in a box. It's nailed. Keep it there. Always. He's got a glorious future for us if we're willing to walk in it. Okay. And then Jesus answered and said to him, what will that I should do for you? In other words, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I always used to have trouble with this. Why would Jesus ask that of a blind man? Because Jesus doesn't presume anything. In other words, he wants you to be specific in your prayer. He could have come and said, look, I just want, you know, I want provision so I can have comfort. I don't care about the blind. I just want provision just so I don't have to beg. I'd like to be set up in a home of my own. I'll find my way around. No. No, he said to Jesus exactly what he wanted. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So he says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now that word whole is the Greek word sozo. And we've talked about this word before, which means salvation. It means healing. It means wholeness, deliverance, nothing broken, nothing needing fixing, peace. That's a very powerful descriptive word in the Greek. So when you see words like salvation and healing and wholeness, it's the same word, sozo. He said, your faith has delivered you. And instantly, this man was healed. Hallelujah. Your faith has made you whole. Now, Bartimaeus had God-pleasing faith. Think about this, people. He had God-pleasing faith, a wholehearted trust in the healer. He didn't go back for his garment, but followed Jesus, a new life in Christ. So we don't want to be like the Israelites who went back to bondage or wanted to go back to bondage. They wanted to just, you know, be under the oppression of taskmasters rather than be liberated and free. And you often heard me say this, that the genesis of our faith begins in the knowledge that God loves us. We've got to establish that. That's got to be an absolute foundational truth. Last week we talked about, you know, building your house on the rock. Well, the rock solid foundation of faith, God loves us. God loves us. That's the rock. If we haven't got that, it's shifting sand. Because the moment you've got a press and you doubt his love for you, you're not going to run to him in faith. You're not going to run to him with confident assurance. You're not going to come boldly to my throne of grace that you might receive help and grace in a time of need, which Hebrews says we can do. We're not going to do any of that if we don't trust that God loves us. And how do we know God loves us? Because he said that through Jesus, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave who? His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God said that through Jesus. And Jesus only said what his Father told him to say. So God was revealing his love toward us, that while we were sinners, God sent his Son to die for us. That's how he revealed his love to us. God loves us. God absolutely loves us unconditionally. So I want to bring this morning to a close with a couple of truths here. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Was this blind man set free? You betcha he was. Was that Syrophoenician woman's daughter set free? Yes. Of course she was. Why? Because they wouldn't let go. They held on. They wouldn't draw back and they wouldn't quit. They pressed in even though everything looked against them. I mean, when you've got the rabbi saying, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. You don't want to be, you know, fickle in your feelings. You don't want to be easily offended. And when, you know, she walks into the house and there's Jesus and she's saying, you know, please have mercy on my daughter who's vexed with the devil. And he goes, don't even look at her. It gives the appearance that Jesus is being hard. No, he wasn't. He wanted her to go to another level. Because she had to punch through, she had to punch past the law into the kingdom and take the faith. And that's what she did. Because when she did that, she pleased her Father. And that was it. And he said, whoa, woman, your faith is great. Your faith is great. Your daughter's well. That's all he wanted. Is your faith and my faith great today? As long as we stick with the book, our faith will be great. And our faith releases the power through corresponding action. That's how it works. Faith without works or corresponding action is dead, but it's released through corresponding action. Amen? So this morning, we don't draw back. We don't quit. We stand our ground, even in the face of opposition, and we trust God with his word no matter what. Amen? Let's pray.